Good morning, everyone. Won't you stand with us? Let's go to the Lord and worship. It's a great morning to worship Him.
Lord, we just thank you right now for all that you're going to do in this place. We ask right now that you would place your hands upon every person that comes into this place. Lord, don't let us leave the same as we came. Lord, may we lift up our hearts and worship. May we open our hearts to hear from your word. May we be challenged today. And God, may we be greater in you than we've ever been before. Lord, we thank you for all the things and all the plans and all the visions you have for our life. And we pray, Lord, right now your hand would be upon this service this morning. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You can be seated in the house this morning. So glad that you are here. And so glad you're visiting online also and coming to be a part of that today. want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone, and especially to those of you who are first-time visitors. If you're a first-time visitor here in the house, we'd ask you to take a card in the seat back in front of you and fill that out and place it in the offering bag that will pass in a short while. If you're online, would you just put something like, hey, I'm new, or I'm visiting, and that way we can kind of greet you there online, and that will help us to kind of a record of your attendance, a record of you coming to be a part of all we're doing here this morning. Well, I've got some announcements for you, and I need you to pay real close attention to this first one especially. If you wrote a check last week for tithe and offering, we had a glitch in our system with the bank, and so I want you to make sure and check and see if that the correct amount came out of the correct account and all of that. And if you see a problem with the check that you wrote from last week, would you please call in here to the church, and we'll give you directions how what to do with that. We've had a few people call us and say, hey, this didn't come out right, or it went somewhere else or whatever. And so the bank is going to work with us, make sure that all happens correctly. But if you wrote a check last week, we just want you to check and help us, okay? And we'll get it remedied, and the bank will work with us, and we'll make that happen, okay? Now, many of you have asked, and so I wanted to announce to you, thank you so much for all of you who donated items for sale, for those of you who came and helped us sort, those of us that came and helped us price, those that came by and just honked their horn and cheered us, those that sent your friends and say, hey, you need to go support, or you shared our Facebook post with the garage sale, or bought some pizza, or you brought some burgers by or whatever and helped us with our workers and doing all that. We had a banner year. You know, up until last year, the most we'd ever made on our garage sale was about $3,000. And then last year, I felt maybe because of COVID that maybe just everybody had all their stuff, and so they gave it to us, and you know, we made a little over $7,000 last year, and I was just like, I don't even know how that happened. But as of this morning, at the most current total I have, we made this year on the garage sale $8,200. So, yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. To God the glory for that. And I asked somebody, I said, I don't even know how that happens. And they looked at me and they said, well, Pastor Phil, when you do the things of the Lord, he places his hand upon it and he multiplies it in ways that don't make sense. And I will tell you, in addition to that, we're selling drinks down at Rose Rock. We have a drink station down there. I know we've made at least $500 or $600 there, and we're going to sell some more this afternoon after service and into the early evening. And so I anticipate that by the time we add everything up, we'll probably have made about $9,000 for the weekend. And so what a huge push towards helping our largest missions team we've ever had from here, 25 from our church, 15 from Bartlesville, 40 of us going to work with the Denver Dream Center, helping the homeless and those that are the down and out, helping people to get the food that they need, but most of all, helping them to know about the Jesus they mostly need. Amen. Mostly. Is that even a word? Mostly? Okay. Well, I mean, Tony said it's a word, but there's some other words that Tony's told me were words too. Tony likes to say, who'd have thunk it also. But anyway, thank you once again, man. The Lord is good, is he not? Amen. And he will always come through for us. Today, we're going to be blessed with missionaries Bill and Rita Moore. Tonight is Connect Group. Man, this is the last Connect Group of the semester. Maybe you started with one and you haven't been going, or maybe you didn't go all the time, but tonight would be a night to finish out strong. My Connect Group, all right, because Pastor Phil, if he stops, he's going to just fall over like that little bunny on the commercial. So my Connect Group is having lunch today, and we are going to the place that God's hand is, Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay, thank you. So we're going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings right after, and we're going to have lunch for our Connect Group. Love for you to join us. Anybody can come, and we're going to have a great time there. And then next week, we're celebrating Mother's Day. Who loves their mom? Come on. Yes, amen, amen. You see, we've got the photo booth back there. We want you to make sure you take pictures next week. Also, we're going to be awarding three awards: family with mother with the most family present, with the youngest baby present, and the most experienced. That would be the oldest. presence. So anyway, we're going to have a great time. We want you to be here and as we celebrate moms. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating our graduates. And several of you have asked me, we have 8 graduates that we're going to be celebrating this next or 2 weeks from this Sunday. And so we want you to be here to just encourage them and celebrate with them. And we know the Lord is just going to have his hand upon that. And then on Sunday night, May 23rd, we're going to do something we haven't done in a while. We're going to do Noble's Got Talent again. This is a time where you could sing, you can play an instrument, Tony Keller can yodel, whatever you would like to do. We'll have a sign up. Do we have it out there yet, Pastor? The sign up is out there, and you can just say, hey, I'm going to do something that night, and we would love to just be able maybe just to share your talent, all right? And it's always a fun night finding out, you know, I didn't know they could sing, or I didn't know they could play a ukulele, or whatever. So we want you to be a part of that on Sunday night, May 23rd. And then Pastor Chad has reminded me 4 times to tell you this. And that is, if you have somebody going to kids camp or you want somebody to go to kids camp, you need to tell him today, because after that, he's giving back. He can't get his deposits back. So he needs to know before you leave church today what the status of your kids is for camp, okay? So when you go over there, pick up your kid, just say, hey, Pastor Chad, my kid's going. No, unfortunately, this year my kid's not going to be able to go. And that will help him out a lot, okay? We can't stress Pastor Chad out too much. So would you do that for me? Amen? Amen. I ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 I'd like to tell you this. We do have a couch and a love seat and a couple of headboards and a little entertainment center, just a little glass entertainment center that I have placed back in the youth room. They're going to leave sometime tomorrow. But if you or you know somebody who has a need for that, we would love as a church to give that to somebody we know before it gets donated tomorrow. So you can go over there after church. And if you want that or you know somebody who needs it, we'd be more than happy to let you have it, okay? And so let's pray over the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for putting your hand upon all of missions and all that we do for missions. We thank you, Lord, for putting your hand upon the finances of our church. And thank you, Lord, once again. We give you all the honor and the praise for what happened in our youth fundraiser. Lord, we're setting marks by more people participating in missions and more money being raised every year. We thank you for that. All the glory goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Once the offering bag passes, join us back in worship.
High in the lowest valley, yes, I will. Let
Oh, yes, I will. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's just our desire, Lord, that we worship you all of our days. Because you are an awesome God that is with us in the valley, and you're with us in the mountaintop, and every way in between. So this morning, Father, Lord, we just want to let you know how much we love you, how awesome you are, that you are our almighty God. You are the first and last, you're the beginning and the end. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and you deserve the glory and the praise. We thank you for it, Father.
So generous, so faithful. Praise God. We serve an awesome God. Today is Communion Day. You can be seated. We want to receive communion this morning. Just remain in an attitude of worship as the men who are coming right now are going to serve you this morning. On the first Sunday of every month, we have communion for everyone who's a believer. You don't have to be a member of this church to celebrate the Lord's death and resurrection. And so this morning, as they prepare to serve you, and they do serve you, we just want to remind you of some prayer requests this morning as they're serving. Remember the Lingle family. Jason Lingle passed away in a car accident last week. His funeral service will be here at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And so remember the Lingle family. April McDonald needs our prayers this morning. We want to pray for April. She's been really having a time. Rendy Pitts still recovering from surgery. Bud Shepard, who's longtime fire chief at Slaughterville, passed away. I don't know any details about his service, but let's lift up his family this morning. Continue praying for Justin Kinman and his girls. Steve Hopkins needs our prayers this morning. Cindy Smith, who's a friend of Mahala, had a death in the family, so we want to pray for this family this morning. And Don Caldwell's Aunt Betty is needing a touch from the Lord today. I know you may have other needs, and we have a significantly a greater number that we pray over on Wednesday night, but these are ones that I especially wanted to highlight this morning. You know, it was through the blood of Jesus that we not only have salvation, but we can have healing, that we can have help in our time of need. It's the way the Lord connects with people, through the blood of Jesus. And we're so thankful as we celebrate His blood today in our lives. Would you just, as you continue to receive the elements, would you just pray with me over these needs today as the church? Father, we come to you this morning. We lift up the Lingle family. Lord, we can't imagine the grief they must feel just in this shocking death of this father, so active in the community with his children and wife. And we just pray that you would uphold Hayden and the sister and this wife, Father God. I pray that you would just minister to them. Lord, touch April today. Lord, bring healing to her body. Lord, we don't know and understand all that's happening, but you do. And so, Father, we pray that you would just touch April today. Touch Rendy, Lord. Help her as she recovers from surgery. Lord, be with the Shepherd family this morning. We pray for Vonda and all the other members of their family that you would just touch this family this morning. Father God, be with Justin. Continue to heal him from these injuries, from the accident. Be with their daughters, Lord, we pray. And continue just to be with them as they face life without Kelly. We just pray that you just minister to this family right now. Father, we pray for Steve today, that you would just touch him and heal him, Lord. We know there is no a thing that is impossible, no need too great, no sickness too bad that you cannot touch. And so we just pray for him. Lord, be with the Smith family today. As they've had this death in the family, I pray that you just give comfort and peace to them. Father God, be with Don's Aunt Betty. I pray that you touch her. And Lord, so many other needs here today. I know that you are well aware. And Father God, we just lift up everyone according to your great power and grace. And Lord, as we come to the table today, we're so reminded that it is the blood of Jesus that makes the difference in our lives. It is the blood of Jesus that makes it possible for us to be here and have service today and have meaningful worship, because Jesus, you did come to the cross. You died. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you rose again. You paid the debt of our sin. And today, Lord, it's our great privilege as Christians to share that news, to spread that word all around the world. And Father God, we just look at our own lives today. And Father God, we just examine ourselves as you told us before we come to the table. Lord, if there's be anything in our lives, Lord, that's standing in the way, any sin, anything, Father God, that's hindering our relationship, we just repent of that right now. We just ask, God, that you just cleanse us as we come to the table and we lift up the cup and we lift up the bread. We pray, Father God, that your healing be upon us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, Lord. I just pray that you meet needs today right now as we gather in your presence. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Would you lift up the bread this morning? Lord, we just lift up this bread that represents your broken body. And Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for what this bread represents. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you loved us so much, that you were pierced. You were pierced with a sword. You were pierced with nails. You were pierced with a crown. You were mocked. You were spit on. You were beaten with a cat of nine tails, with a whip, all so that we could experience the blessing that you provide. And we receive this bread right now in remembrance of you. Amen. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Lord, we're so thankful for your blood that you shed. This grape juice represents that blood. We're so thankful that our sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will celebrate this again with you in heaven at that marriage supper. Lord, we look forward to being together with thousands and millions of believers who have lived through the years, through the ages of time, as we all gather at that marriage supper of the Lamb and we see you lead in communion again, celebrating what your blood purchased. And that is men and women from all over the world, children, people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, Lord, all gathered around your throne forever and ever and ever. We rejoice in you today. In Jesus' name, receive the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice in you today, Lord. Would you just stand and just lift your hands to the Lord and just thank him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise that. Our worship team is going to come back and sing one more song that pertains to the blood and to communion. So let's gather in this final song of worship before our speaker comes.
laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walk right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, give him a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We rejoice in our Savior this morning. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to have Colton and Sasha Drever and the two twins here today. Their first time in church. Emma and Nora, are they still back there? They're probably asleep, but Emma and Nora, thank you for those of you that brought gifts to the shower table. If you forgot, like me, Carol and I had plans all week long to go get the gift for the Drever twins. And when I came in this door this morning and saw that table, I thought, man, it's not because I don't love you. It's just because I just got busy, I guess. But anyway, we will take care of that. So anyway, thank you to those of you that brought gifts. And if you forgot, then you're still able to do that. So this morning, we are privileged to have Bill and Rita Moore with us. Bill was one of the first missionaries that this church started supporting 35 years ago. So I'm going to say you've probably been supporting you about 30, 31 years, 32 maybe, I don't know. But he was one of the seven missionaries that when I came, we supported, Bill Moore. And so I don't know when Brother Boykin or Dan Newberry and the two former pastors started supporting the Moores, but they have been in Africa for 35 years building churches. Help me welcome Bill and Rita Moore. Rita, would you stand? Rita, stand. Amen. Thank you.
Well, what a joy it is to be in the great metropolis of noble America today. Amen. So glad for this opportunity to be here and just to say a big thank you for your faithfulness down through these years. Pastor Steve, appreciate you guys, and God bless you. It's because of you and people like you that we have been able to go to Africa and not only just go there, but it's also that we've been able to do the work of the ministry of God across that continent, and he's doing some marvelous, marvelous things there. So thank you very, very much. You know, I remember those days, actually, of those early days of coming here back even when you were in the other building, and it's just been a great partnership. So for a little boy from Jones, America, how many of you know where Jones is at? Yeah, come on, somebody. All the way from Jones, I appreciate the partnership that you guys have been with us down through these years. You know, there's some wonderful things that have happened in Africa and some wonderful things that are happening, and there are some wonderful things that will happen as we continue to do the work that God has called us to there and for this next generation that's coming on. Maybe you are one of the next generation that God may be speaking to your heart about overseas ministry. Well, let today be the day that you say yes to what God is speaking to your heart, because you never know what he might do through you. I can tell you, I actually just preached at Jones last weekend. There were, I can tell you, there were some of the Sunday school teachers I had there, Pastor Steve, they looked at this thing, and they said, I wonder if anything can ever become of him. Well, I'm still alive today. I'm still preaching and still doing the work of God. So I guess something can happen no matter what. So God bless you guys for everything that you've done. You know, I love Oklahoma. Well, there's two of us to do, three. I love Oklahoma and what it is and how the partnership has been down through the years. But I start thinking about seasons. I think about the seasons that we have here in Oklahoma. How many of you know we can have all four of them in one day? You know what I'm talking about. Today may be one of those days even, we don't know. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1, it says this. Kantu kali konse kalindian tawiyake chufuna chili tonse chilindian patsi patambo chilindian pindiyake. How many of you got that? Raise your hand. It's right up there on the screen. There is a time, there is a season for every activity under heaven. As I think about seasons, of course, we do think about the seasons that we have throughout the year. We talk about the fall, the winter, the spring, and the summer. What's your favorite season? See, I knew I'd get four different answers to that. I don't know what I like. I used to like the winters a lot, but the older I get, the less I like them. Can somebody get with me on that? I don't know what I like the best. I know in Africa we have different seasons. In fact, where we first served in Malawi, there were several different seasons, but they weren't the same as they are here. We had a hot season, and then we had another hot season. After that, we had a hot season, and then we had a cool season. Sometimes called a rainy season. In fact, there was one time in one part of the country, they had something they called chipperoni. That just means it's kind of wet and misty and just, you know, always kind of fogged over. And that was the season. It was the time. Hey, Pastor, I was thinking something. A mayor, I'm sorry. I have to call you mayor, right, when I'm in here. You got these words down, right? I want to introduce you to a new word. Ujeni. Ujeni. U-J-E-N-I. That's like one of those things with you, whatchamacallits, you know, something like that. So that's your new word. Okay? Everybody got that? If he says Ujeni from up here, it's okay now. We have different seasons there. In fact, I enjoy the seasons over there in different places. I will tell you this, you know, Africa is a huge continent made up of almost 50 countries. And it's as diverse there as it even is here. There are places where it really is hot all the time. I mean, it's hot. It's just less hot some of the time, but it's hot all the time. There are other places where there's mountains. I mean, it gets really, really cold up there. In fact, living in South Africa, where we did most recently, you know, we had one time there was a strange weather phenomenon that came through, and it started to snow. In fact, there is a little mountain range, not what we would call the Rockies here, but there's a mountain range between the city where we live, the city of Johannesburg, and a city down on the coast called Durban. And in one snowfall, they had about 2 meters, which is almost 7 feet of snow. We don't see that very often here. I will tell you, it didn't last very long. It was there one day, basically, and gone the next. But there are different things. And so the seasons are all interesting. I think about a different type of season, seasons of life, the seasons of when the twins were born. Going up into childhood, youth, and adulthood, and then some of you, kind of like me, getting over the hill now, if you know what I mean. Seasons of life. All types of seasons that we could talk about this morning, but I want for just a few moments to talk to you about the seasons that God has in planting his church. You see, in Africa, that's what we've been involved in, is seeing the church planted across the continent. In fact, during the first term that we were there, we were able to plant, in conjunction with our national church, almost 90 brand new churches in that first 4-year term, and that type of thing has continued on. Actually, think about some of those wonderful, wonderful times and some of those places where we went to plant the church the first season. We were living in the northern part of the country of Malawi there in a place called Mzuzu. Mzuzu is a city, they say, but I would venture that most of you have never heard of that city. If you've heard of it, you're doing pretty good. It wasn't very big, but it was a city. We were living there, and we had the opportunity to go just outside of town into a forest area to plant a new church. I can actually remember driving out there. I had my Toyota double cab, 4-wheel drive pickup, and I needed it. We had gone down the paved road just a little ways, and then we began to make our way back in, just really through a trail. In fact, we had to have somebody come and meet us so that we would know where to drive to. As we drove back through that forest area, it was heavy, heavy forestation, jungle, if you want to call it that, and I had no clue where we was going. I was just hoping we was going to the right place. You go into the jungle, you may never come out again. We got to one little, I don't know, I'll call it a stream, a river, a creek, a ravine, something. And in that pickup, I just want you to imagine this in your mind. The bridge that went over it was just round logs that were stretched from one side to the other. What does a log typically look like? It's kind of round, isn't it? Have you ever tried to drive a car on top of some logs? You're probably going to fall off of it. Well, I had a preacher with me from the U.S. So we was going out there. He looked at that thing and he says, I'm not riding across with you. He got out. I said, good. You walk to the other side and then you direct me. And hopefully we can just stay up on the top of that rounded log. Somehow we made it across and didn't fall in. We continued on for a little ways, and I'm thinking, where in the world are we going? They've set everything up and we're coming out here to plant a church, but where are we going to? I could not see hardly one hut even out there. I thought, they're wasting our time. We're coming out here. There's going to be nobody here. What are we going to do? But after just a moment of driving further, we came to a clearing in that jungle. They had carved out of that jungle a place where they could play soccer. They had a soccer field. I still couldn't see hardly any houses. So we pull up there, unload everything. It's starting to rain. Anybody ever do anything stupid in the rain? Like play with generators and electricity? I was. We unloaded that generator, hooked it up, and it wasn't the best one out there like some of these days, and you're trying to wire stuff together and, you know, stick things, bare wires into plugs and do all kinds of stuff. I was out there doing that, getting the PA system hooked up, and the sprinkles are coming down, the rain's coming down, and all this time I'm thinking, where in the world are these people going to come from? They're not even around here. After about 30 minutes preparing things, we fire up the generator, turn the music on, start some singing. And what I had not noticed at all was that coming into that soccer field, there were trails from every direction coming in there. And as that music started, the people started coming. They hadn't heard music like that over big sound system, PA system, in who knows how long, if ever, they started coming. I said, thank the Lord. So in that Friday night, Saturday night, we were there, continued to have those services. There was a large crowd that came both nights. Then on Sunday morning, we went back for the first official service, and there was probably 120, 130 that came in for that first service at that church. And that's what we have been doing time after time after time, is planting the church. I have had the opportunity to talk to some of the people who have worked in Malawi in the past. In fact, some of those early pioneers of planting was a couple by the name of Morris and Macy Williams. Now, Morris and Macy Williams are wonderful people. I do remember my first contact with Morris Williams. I was a young man. I had just graduated from Southwestern Assemblies of God College, was college back then, in Waxahachie, Texas. I picked up the phone and called this man in Springfield, Missouri. He was the director of Africa missions at that time. I said, Brother Williams, my name is Bill Moore. I'm ready to be a missionary in Africa. He said, well, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? I said, okay, I grew up in Jones, Oklahoma. I know you've heard of that. You know, I know you've heard of Jones. My mom and dad are good Christians, Assemblies of God people. I was born and reared in the church. I've come to Southwestern, have a call of God on my life. I've now graduated with my missions degree, and I'm ready to go. He said, well, tell me about your family. I said, well, you know, parents are doing well. Mom's been a school teacher, principal at a local school. Dad worked for General Motors. And sister, she's got a good job. She's a CPA and on and on. He said, well, tell me about your wife. I said, I don't have one. He said, well, why don't you get one and call me back? So I got one. Little girl from Texas, brought her out of the land of Egypt to the promised land of Oklahoma. Somebody shout glory. We were in ministry in Mangum for a while and Elk City before heading to the mission field, but God helped us. But that was my first contact with Morris Williams. Now, Morris Williams, not long after I spoke with him, he actually passed away, but I had the opportunity of talking with Macy, his wife. Talked to Macy and I asked her this. I said, tell me what it was like back during those early years of doing ministry. What was it like during that season of planting back there? And she told me the story of how back in the 1940s they boarded a boat and left from the U.S. and made their way out to East Africa and got off there. Then they hired some porters, for lack of a better term, to help carry their goods inland into Malawi. Took them quite a long time as they traveled most of that way by foot into places they could never imagine where they were going. Said, when we arrived there, there was really nothing. There was no work happening as far as the work of God. They began to plant the seeds. They began to share the message about Jesus Christ. And as they were faithful in doing what God had called them to do, a church began to slowly emerge. I will tell you, though, that Morris and Macy Williams never saw the revival, the great growth that we're seeing there today. But they were faithful in doing what God had called them to do. How does that apply to you today? Well, it may be that you've had a struggle even to get to the place where you're at today, like they had to struggle just to get in. It may be that you have seen that you have worked hard in planting the seed of the gospel in a husband, a wife, a child, a friend, and it seems like there has not been any progress. Let me tell you this, don't give up. Still have faith, still have hope. Be faithful in what God is calling you to do, because he did promise. He made a strong promise to us. If someone will plant the seed, and if someone will water that seed, one day there will be a harvest. So don't ever give up. Be faithful at what God is calling you to do. I move a few years forward in history, and I think about a little lady by the name of Rose Klaub. Rose was a wonderful person. She actually is a hero of mine. Rose was a pretty amazing lady, actually, while she was a strong lady. Rose went to Africa when she was about 20 or 21 years old. I'll tell you, excuse me. Rose went out as a single lady, and when she came home in her 60s, she came home as a single lady. I don't think there was a man in the world that could have been married to that woman. I'm just going to tell you right now. She was tough. We called her Sarge, but never to her face. Now, don't think I'm belittling her. She was just strong. See, when I first met Rose, I almost didn't know how to take her. But after being with her for a while, I began to realize who she was and how she did things. Rose, as her last Speed the Light vehicle, she chose to have, it's about a 3.5 or 4 ton Toyota truck. I'm not talking about a Tundra or a Tacoma. I'm talking about a truck, a big flatbed truck. The reason Rose wanted that was to build churches. Even though she was up in years, she knew her role. Her role was to water those seeds that had been planted. That was the season that she was in. You see, had the privilege of watching Rose for a few years before she retired. Rose would use that truck after she had gone into a little village to begin to preach the word. She would establish a congregation. Then as it began to grow just a little bit, excuse me, she would start to build a church. How did she do it? She took young people who had come to be a part of that congregation. She had used them for physical labor, or if they had skills, laying bricks or whatever it might be, she would use them. But oftentimes they were just that pure labor. She would actually go down to the river with that truck. They would begin to load the truck one shovel full at a time with sand. Take it back to the building site and unload it the same way. It was not a dump truck. She'd take it and go out to the place where they had made gravel, had literally broken rocks with a hammer, one at a time, breaking them up for the purpose of using that for making, thank you very much, greatly appreciated, use that for making concrete to pour the floor and such. She would then load that truck with bricks that were handmade with the help of these young people and take it back. And all this time as she was building the church physically, she had these young people under her wings, her mother hen wings. She'd begin to disciple them. She'd begin to mentor them. She'd begin to water them. And get that church built, and she'd begin to use these people and these young people in ministry, whether it be singing or whether it be teaching a Sunday school class. Bring me that water. I can drink. No, I'm just kidding. I've already got one. You guys, you take care of people here. Thank you very, very much. She would use them teaching Sunday school or whatever it was. Sorry. And after a while, she'd have them preaching, be training them on what to do. And most all the time, many of those young people would turn out to be the people she thought they were, and she would send them off to Bible school. They'd become pastors. And today, if you would go into that country, you would see that a lot of our leaders there are actual people who Rose trained. Because, you see, she understood what her role was. It was a role of watering. It was that season of watering. Today, across that country, Rose has made an impact. You see, when Rose came back to the United States in her early 60s, it wasn't but about 6 months to a year later that Rose passed away because of cancer. You know, Rose never really saw the great revival that's taking place there. She never really got to reap the benefits of what she had done. But may I tell you that when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, Rose will be right there at the head of the line, because there will be people who will be gathered around her that said, because of you, because of what you did, I am here today. Whether it be those young people that she had, or whether it be the results of those young people going out into ministry, or whatever it is. Why? Because Rose was faithful to do what God had called her to do. You may be in a season of watering. Those seeds may have been planted in someone's life around you, and it's your opportunity, it's your business, it's really your priority to keep on watering those seeds, because again, the promise of God is that if there is a seed that is planted, if there is a seed that's watered, one day there will be a harvest. And today, that's what we are really beginning to see across the continent there. In fact, we now have 83,000 Assemblies of God churches across the continent of Africa. God is pouring out His Spirit because there are people who knew what their role was, what it was for their season. I think about the country of Tanzania. Tanzania is just to the east of where we served our first missionary life there in Malawi. In fact, in Malawi, we no longer have the 202 Assemblies of God churches that were there when we arrived, but they're somewhere numbering 3,500 churches in that same country. In Tanzania, just to the east. A little over 10 years ago, our general superintendent of the country, a man by the name of Barnabas Ntokambali, came into the leadership. He had a vision for reaching that country. At that time, they had just a little over 2,000 Assemblies of God churches there. And Barnabas felt that God had spoken to his heart that it was time to plant. It was time to bring in the harvest from all the things that had happened in the past. And so what did he do? He set forward on a strategic plan to reach that nation. He says, I believe that in 10 years, we can grow from 2,000 to 10,000 churches, plant 8,000 new churches. Most of us would look at him and say, are you crazy? Huh? How can you grow that much in a short 10-year period? But he said, this is what God has called me to. He began to travel around from area to area of the country and began to preach about the call of God on individuals' lives. And he called the people of that country to become church planters. He called on them to get out there to that harvest that was really ready and to bring it in. And I don't know what his final number was, but in the middle of that preaching tour that he was going on, he gave me the exact number, and he said there was something like 6,587 people who had responded to the call and said, we'll become church planters. So in Tabernacle Evangelism, we began to partner with the Assemblies of God there in Tanzania, and we began to build church planter training schools, so those people who had responded to the call could go and be trained to plant churches. They started off with just about 10 districts within that nation, The last I heard, they were up to almost 60 different districts because they had grown so much, they had to keep splitting it up. And he keeps calling on us, Bill, can you help us build another church planter training school? Well, we keep on trying, and we're working hard to do that. But I was able to go just before. Anybody know there's been some kind of a pandemic that's happened around the world? You know, it's crazy. It's slowed us down, but God's still moving. Just before that started, I was able to go to Tanzania and go to a celebration of what God had done during that 10-year span. Unfortunately, they had to report to us that they had not planted those 8,000 churches to get them up to the 10,000 total. They had not reached that. In fact, he says, we've come up short, but we're still working. And I believe the number he told me was they had only planted 7,996 churches, and they had four to go. I said, I think that's okay, and I think you will make it. And so they have grown. They are now well over 10,000 churches in that country. God is pouring out his Spirit. So we're continuing to work with them through Africa Tabernacle Evangelism. We're continuing to partner with them in those churches and other countries like Ghana in West Africa. We've been able to work with them. They had a goal in 5 years to plant 3,000 churches. They called it Vision 3,000. They're just reaching the end of that time frame now, and they have continued to plant church after church, and they invited us in the ministry of Africa Tabernacle Evangelism to come in and help them in a new way. They wanted to build their own tabernacles. They said, you know, we have this old campus that we haven't used in a while, and we're going to make it into a technical training campus. Can you come and help us to set up a program where that we teach young men and women, if need be, to weld and to cut and to drill and to fabricate these buildings? We said, absolutely, we can do that, because what do? They essentially get free labor. In fact, they may have to pay them for the labor, you know, because they're being trained. And so we went in, we've set up a factory there. And just this past week, I received reports that they've just put up another two buildings, and things are happening where God is using that work to build churches. We have been able now across the continent to build about 3,500 of these tabernacles. What's a tabernacle? You keep hearing me refer to that. It's a basic, simple structure that is, in general, about 35 feet by about 45 feet. It's not huge, but it's enough to seat somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 to 300 African style. We do not know anything about social distancing there. We know, well, we do, but it's not wide distancing, it's narrow distancing. How many can we get in? And they will sit together. People will be, I don't know how, sometimes they fit one more person into a row, and I do not know how they do it. But there's a little wiggling that happens, and somebody else just gets in there. So they can seat up to about 300 in one of these. We go in, we put up the basic steel framework for the church and for the trusses, I should say, and then we put what we call purlins across the top, and then put the roofing on it. And after we have done that part from our partner churches here in the U.S., then that local church will come in, they will put their floor in, they'll put their walls up, they will do whatever it is, they will finish it in the way that is appropriate for their context. And so we see this happen time after time, and so about 3,500 of these have been put up. In fact, it's probably about 3,550 right now. I haven't got an up-to-date figure in the last couple of months, but God is using these to reach people. What happens when a tabernacle is built? Well, first off, it gives legitimacy within the community. There have been so many crazy doctrines that have floated across that country, that continent, I should say, that until you have a permanent place of worship, you're really not considered to be viable. Now, I've seen some crazy stuff, Pastor. I've heard of crazy stuff. I heard about one here a while back that they called it the stinking sock doctrine. They literally wanted to smell your socks to see if they stunk. And if they did, there's no way you could be holy. May I see how many holy people we have here in the church today? How they come up with that, I don't know. At one point, I was talking to some guys, and they were talking about in their church, they could have three wives. But when you got number four, it was sin. don't understand this stuff. I don't know where they come up with it, but that's the kind of stuff that goes across that continent. And so we want to help these people get legitimate within their communities. So typically what we see happen is that from one Sunday to the next, when a tabernacle is built, the church congregation will almost double in size in 1 week. And sometimes it's much, much more than that. That's what we normally do. I will tell you, there are times when we do go in and we put up a building before there is a congregation. You know, you've heard it. Some people say, build it and they will come. Well, we were out on the island of Madagascar. How many of you know Madagascar really is a place? It's not just the name of a movie. Yeah. We were out on the island of Madagascar, and the church there started in about 1990, and we had partnered with them down through the years, and some wonderful things had happened. I remember going to one of the early churches that we partnered with there. I got to preach in one of the early churches there, and when I was there, they had three Sunday morning services, 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30. After you've preached that many times, you get a little tired. I'll just tell you right up front. I preached there and was helping them put up a big tabernacle, and it was amazing what they had to do. They were not well received within the community, and as they tried to buy property, they could not. They were not allowed to buy property at all. At least, not any good property. They were able to buy a rice paddy, though. What do you know about rice paddies? Typically, that's a floodplain where a lot of water is at. And they knew they couldn't build there. So the pastor challenged his people, every time you come to church, bring a bucket of dirt. And they fill that thing in. One bucket at a time. He said, when I got up, I think it was 2.5 million. He said, I quit counting the number of buckets that came in. We just knew we had to fill that place in. I asked him at that time, I said, now what's your plan for this new church? Because it's much bigger. He was running about 2,200 through those three services at the time. And he says, oh, well, he says, we want to just take the number that we have, get them over into the new church, and then we want to grow enough so we'll have three more services. So 2,100 plus 2,100 plus 2,100, it's amazing. I was able to go there just when we were recently there, just before the pandemic started. God has moved on that church. But there was a church outside of town. Well, no, I shouldn't say there was a church. There was a location outside of town where they wanted to start a new church. So I asked a little bit about it. I asked a few questions. How is this going to happen? He says, well, we want to get this church built, this tabernacle, and then we'll start having services and we'll establish a church, a congregation, and let it be a light in this area. It was probably, I'm going to say, about 5 miles from the next closest church. You know, our desire, our goal is to plant a church within walking distance of every person in Africa. So this was about 5 miles away. And so we went up on the top of this mountain. It had been leveled off for, I don't know, some kind of construction or excavation of some type in years gone by, and it was flat up on that mountain. There was hardly any people that were in the very close proximity of that place, but they said, this is what we could get. And so we're going to build a church here. So on a Saturday, literally on a Saturday, we went in those 4, 5, 6 hours that it took us to get the building up. We got everything done that we needed to, and we left. We asked what the plan was. Well, tomorrow we're going to start a church. So, Sunday afternoon, a teacher from our Bible school, a pastor from another local assembly, and a Bible school student, three people went in there. They walked about inviting people to service, and that first service they had 21 people present. We found out about this on Sunday evening. They had 21 people present. I said, well, what happened in that service? They said, oh, we had a great time. We sang, we preached, we had an altar call, and 18 people got saved. Now, think about this. How many people did I say were present? 21. Three of them was a pastor, huh? A Bible school teacher, and a Bible school student. That leaves 18. and 18 people were saved. Every last one of them in that moment were saved. And today, there's a church there. Why? Because there was somebody like you that gave so that we could go, we could put up a tabernacle, and so that they could continue on the work. That's what happens time after time after time. We've been able to build tabernacles in about 40 different countries. And so God has continued to pour out his spirit. But I have to ask you this question. While we can spend hours, I could literally tell you story after story after story. But while we look at all these wonderful things that have happened, I want to just ask you this question that I will answer for you. What is left to do? Still on that continent, we have 867 unreached people groups. Many of them are up in the northern part of the continent, up in the heavy Islamic area, places where we're not welcome to go, but they're waiting to hear the message. As of today, we have 23 countries without one missionary from the Assemblies of God in the USA. That's almost half of the countries in Africa that don't have one missionary there. But I think when we look at numbers, the number that hits me the hardest is this next one. There's 199,484,190 people who have no, here's a key word coming up, get the antennas up, they have no access to the gospel. Can't say that about too many people in the U.S., can we? We have access. Now, whether everybody chooses to follow Christ, that's a whole different story. But at least we have access to the message. So we have to do something. We have to keep on with what we're doing. We have to keep doing what we can to provide access to the message. And so, as I stated earlier, it's our goal. It's what we're trying to do. It's where we're moving forward. It's our mission to plant a healthy, vibrant church within walking distance of every person in Africa. And as you have been faithful down through these years to support us, I'm believing that you will continue on. We're going to work toward that mission, towards that goal that we have. Can we do it alone? Absolutely not. Of course, it takes people like you who are supporting us and who are standing with us. But it also takes our African brothers and sisters. You see, there's such a key role in this. We're doing what we can to teach them and to lead them in church planting efforts. We're doing our best to teach and lead them into missions efforts. And we're seeing that paying off. African churches are now sending missionaries from one country to the next. It's happening. In fact, there are countries where that if I was to take my American passport and lay it on that immigration table in an airport, on the front of it, it says United States of America. They would probably look at me and say, "Get out of here, you infidel. We don't want you here." But as we plant those churches, and as pastors are raised up, as missionaries are laid up, those very people are able to take their African passport, lay it down on that same table, and that immigration officer would say, "Welcome, brother. We are glad you're here." Not really understanding what he's saying, but as we're able to plant those churches, we're raising up people who will go to where we could never go. Want to show you a video, if I can now, take just a couple, maybe 3 minutes to show it to you, then I want to come back and tell you one more story, and then I'll turn it to you, Pastor.
Imagine with me a healthy church within walking distance of every person in Africa. This is our vision, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, People are coming to Jesus and churches are being planted across the continent of Africa. But along with the growth of the church in Africa comes a need. For many African congregations, having a permanent church building to meet in is too costly due to their limited resources. Africa Tabernacle Evangelism began in 1991 in response to this need. Since then, Africa Tabernacle Evangelism has helped construct almost 3,500 buildings. Partnership is crucial. Africa Tabernacle Evangelism provides the basic framework and roof, while the local church will then finish the walls and floor. Teams also come from the USA to work alongside our African brothers and sisters during the construction process. It's a beautiful display of partnership and unity for the glory of God. In fact, many churches even double in size within 1 week of a tabernacle being built.
It's been a real joy for the team from First Assembly in Rockford to be here on site in Togo working with the tabernacle, Evangelism. And those two things are coming together in a very powerful way because the tabernacle creates a venue for evangelism to take place.
The African Assemblies of God has grown to over 83,000 local congregations. And as a result, there's a great need for tabernacles to be built. Financial support to purchase and ship building supplies is needed. Would you engage in this work that has such a great influence on a community? Congregations are waiting for you.
I just want to say a word of thanks to all the churches and people in America who have given and made this possible. This is one of 800 churches in Togo, and probably only half of them have an adequate place to worship. And so this work is going to be a huge blessing to the church here in Togo.
It is in working together with the churches in Africa that we will have the most impact. Will you partner with us to provide building materials for a new church? Will you partner with our African brothers and sisters as they spread the gospel in their area? Will you be a kingdom builder? Together, we can change the face of Africa.
It is because of you and partnership just like yours to not only give to us on a monthly basis, but churches that come alongside us and will take a project will help us to build one of these tabernacle structures. Right now we're in a time of kind of unknowns with steel prices going crazy, but our price right now is somewhere in about the neighborhood of $7,500 that we're able to average in putting up one of these tabernacles that makes a difference in a community. You see, there is a why to what I do. You know, I never planned on being a preacher, never planned on being a missionary. I had other plans for my life, but as I was in a prayer meeting one night, God spoke to my heart, and that's what the initial why was. But I think about even a different why, or maybe a greater why right now. In fact, it has to do with one of our tabernacles that we put up. There was an area just outside the capital city of Harare, Zimbabwe, area called Overspill, that was a place where a lot of people lived. I mean, it was a heavy populated area. It's a place where a young man who had come out of a cult had become the pastor of a local congregation, a congregation that had no building, and he was actually meeting in his house if the weather was not permissible for it to be outside. He had grown this church to up to about 60 people, and they would fit in his living room, but just barely. I know, I've been there, and you have a room that's 10 by 10, maybe 12 by 12, something like that, and you get 60 people in there. How many of you know that's going to be close? I have been there. I know this from firsthand experience. As I was sitting on a seat of some kind, I don't even remember what it was, I literally had people sitting on my feet in that room. If they were able, they would go outside. They had some old plastic that they had would tie up between some trees and set under it, and that was their church. And we wanted to help this young pastor, even though while he had grown his local church, he knew he needed to keep growing the greater church, and he had kept starting other little churches, and he'd started six in about the 6 or 7 years that he had been there. But we wanted to help him get a church of his own, building of his own. And we we knew that because of the large population there, that there was potential for more need than just that normal sized tabernacle, and so it was decided to put up a bigger building for him. And this one didn't just take those few hours of one day. It took several days, probably about 5 days, to get it put up. And what often will happen is when we're there building, there will be people who, in their morning walk off to the market or to the bus station or wherever it might be, they'll walk by and they'll look at this building and they'll see what's going on, evaluate a little bit, and continue on their journey. They come back from where they have gone in the evening, whether it be to a job or just down at the market or wherever, they come back, they look at it again. Say, progress being made. But there was one man at this particular place who constantly, throughout the day, he was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, just looking at what was happening there. This was not a normal guy. In fact, this is probably not politically correct, and forgive me if you don't like this. He was a crazy man. He had lost his mind. I don't know how. I don't know what the backstory about that was, but he wasn't all there. He lived on the streets. He scavenged for his food and got it wherever he could. His clothes were filthy, tattered rags. Who knows how long it had been since he had bathed in any way. His hair was matted and just horrible. He stunk. No one wanted to be around that kind of a person. I wish I could say it was me, but it was not. It was a colleague of mine that had been observing this man, and he says, I'm going to go out and invite him to our service tonight they were having during the time of construction. So he went out, introduced himself, and says, I want you to come tonight. I want you to be my guest. I want you to come to the service tonight. And of course, no one thought he would come. And if he did come, there's no telling what he might do, because these people could get violent in just a moment's time. And much to their chagrin, right after the music started, in walks the crazy man. Makes his way right up to the front. Sets on the very front row, right there close to the missionary. And as the singing is happening, as the preaching is happening, some miracle was taking place, because there was some comprehension of what was going on that had reached into his mind. And when the altar call was given, one of the first people to come forward that night was this man who we later found out his name was Levi Chihomwe. Levi got up from where he was at, made his way forward, got on his knees, gave his life to Jesus Christ. When he raised up from there, he was a new man, because, you know, when Jesus comes in, everything is different. And not only was his soul saved, but the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and what becomes new? All things become new. Not only was Levi made whole in his spirit, but his mind was renewed. He went down as a crazy man. He came back up with his mind renewed. Everything was as clear as it was before something happened to him before. You see, as Levi would walk up and down that road, he was always holding something in his hand. It was a bunch of old tattered papers. We found out later that Levi had been a school teacher, and what he held in his hand was a remembrance from the days gone by of how he loved to read. And after he was born again, after his mind was renewed, that same desire to read, to study, was still there. He read the Word of God. He read religious articles and such things. He was taught, he was trained, and after the appropriate amount of time, Levi Chihomwe became a Sunday school teacher in the church. Later, he was elected to be one of the deacons of the church. And the last I heard was Levi Chihomwe had left the church, but he had only left the church so he could go off to Bible school to be a pastor. Friends, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's why I do what I do. So I ask you this question. Why do you do what you do? What drives you? What is your reason for serving Christ? What's your reason for being on this earth? Each one of us have a destiny. Each one of us have a plan, a God-given plan. And I ask you, what is yours? Now, Father, I pray right now, as you speak to our lives, I pray that we will listen. I pray that you will help us to understand what our destiny is, what our reason for being is. Help us to understand our why. Help us to realize that you have a plan. You have a purpose for each one of us. While I wish it was everyone would go to Africa as a missionary, I realize that's obviously not what you're calling everyone to do. But help us to know who we are in you. And if you should be speaking to us to do something different than what we're doing now, if you would help us to go down a track that's different than where we're headed now, I pray that you would help us to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Father, I pray a special blessing over this church. I pray a special blessing over Pastor as he leads this wonderful, wonderful church into the days that are ahead in serving you in whatever role you have for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stretch your hands toward Brother Bill. He's been not feeling well. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just stretch our hands toward this beloved missionary that you have used so mightily and his family through these years. And I pray that you just continue to touch, anoint him, Father God. Touch his body right now. Help him, Father, be completely whole, completely 100%, totally healed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. It's such a joy to have Bill and Rita Moore with us here today. And isn't it exciting what God is doing around the world? And churches work together and partner with missionaries like the Moores. They can't do what they do unless we do what we can do. When everybody works together, it's a partnership. Great things are done. So today we want to receive an offering for the Moores. And so if you would prepare that, just make out a check to Noble Assembly of God. We will make sure he gets every dollar. You can put on your offering envelope your name and the amount and put more, M-O-O-R-E. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for this wonderful, exciting report of what's happening in Africa. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done through Bill and Rita Moore. I thank you, Lord, for their leadership there on the continent of Africa. I thank you for all of the many hundreds, thousands of tabernacles that have been constructed. Lord, I just pray that you continue to raise up those who will go forth and preach the word and pastor and be the leader for various and many churches that you want to plant in the future. Lord, there may be even some people here who you are laying your hand upon to be involved in a more personal way to planting churches in Africa. And we just pray that you would help us all to be obedient to what you have called us to do. Lord, bless this offering today, Lord. Bless both the gift and the giver. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? Father God, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I just pray if there's those watching over the live stream or even here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, right now, Father God, I pray that you would speak to their heart, that they would say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Make me a new person like you made the man that Bill just talked about. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are still changing lives. You are still changing hearts. You are still changing eternities in people's lives. And we just give you all the praise for it right now. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.